Praise the Lord. Pick your Bibles. Let us go to the reason why we gather in Brother Assembly. It's Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. That is what we are doing, chapter 2. I think we are now in verse 8, the second church age. Verse 8 to verse 11. That scripture says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, this thing saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which said they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Be seated, all of you that love Bible study. Amen. We are taking a look at the book of Revelation, and we are continuing our study of the seven churches of Asia. We explained earlier that today we are speaking of the seven, what we go through, the grace age, God dividing the church age, known also as the kingdom of heaven. That is God's kingdom. When John the Baptist says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is the period he was talking about, the kingdom of heaven. And God, like we said, used those seven local churches in Asia Minor to speak of the conditions that the seven different dispensations we go through. Amen. And we looked at the first church age. We saw the messenger to that age. I want to continue, please. Go back to the tape so that you can follow. Go back to the tapes so that you can follow. Now we are in the second church age, verse 8. This chapter 2, the study of chapter 2 is more than just reading through. Because there is need for us to understand the condition of those ages past, so that you can know where we are now and also understand what is going on now in the Christian church. Don't just be a religious person. The difference is revelation. So that many of these things that are happening, we will not be blind to it. We are aware. For the Bible said, "The wise shall understand." And that wisdom comes by the revelation that God himself has given us. Remember that salvation, redemption generally, is God's own agenda. I'm telling you, I have sat down to meditate. Seriously, I'm telling you. The type of meditation I used to meditate when I was very small. I used to meditate and say, "Who born my papa? Who born the person who born my papa? Who born the person who born the person who born my papa? Who born the person? Where born the person? Where born the person? Where born? That's a little boy who was meditating. Because you can't just be enjoying your life without asking some questions about life. And so also with Christianity. You don't just come to God and don't ask certain questions about Him. And why I ask this question is, if God is all-knowing, then it means He knew that when He was creating Adam and Eve, He knew and He created serpent. As He was creating serpent, He knew what serpent will do. But He still created him. And not just created him, at least He would have kept him far from the Garden of Eden. He still brought him to the family. He knew what Judas would do. But He was the one that showed Jesus, that is one of the disciples you should pick. So, that these are the things. Now, you should also ask a question. Why will God stay and allow His people to suffer? We try to do your best to live a clean life. It is those who live clean lives that suffer more. So these are the things that you meditate. And then I came and I looked. I said, come. Wait. They say there are fossils of animals that we have found. And using scientific instruments, some of them are 2 million, 3 million years old on this earth. That means this earth has been existing for millions of years. The man is only 6,000 years. So, I will ask the question, what was happening on earth here before Adam was created? So, when you begin to ask such questions, hallelujah, it will make you to fear God the more. But I came up with only one answer. Amen. That the earth is God's own laboratory to display His sovereignty. And why it is necessary for me is to see that I am on the positive side, not the negative side, of that experiment He is doing. There must be good and there must be evil. Amen. He said, in a great house, there are not only vessels of, not only one type of vessel. There are vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. But they are all owned by the owner of the house. Except you begin to think like that, you will never understand salvation. That it is God's own agenda. And so when I hear people crying, Oh, they are suffering for ministry. Suffering for ministry. Pastor, I don't know what is wrong with my ministry. My ministry is not growing. My ministry is rise and fall. My ministry, I will look at you. Is it your ministry? Now you own the church. Can anybody help God? Can anybody help God? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm saying this. So that you will understand that while God ushered in the churches, immediately the church age started. From the day of Pentecost, God already knew what the church will go through. And you need to know it. That is what we are studying. What we are studying is the history of the church. What the church has gone through. But as far as John was concerned, it was given to him in symbols. He himself, and that is why I keep saying that please, those of you who are prophets and those of you who see revelations, always don't add your own interpretation to it. Always say it and stop where the revelation stop. And don't inject your own. And say like this. I see you like a he-goat. I see you like a he-goat. go, then the next thing the person is telling you, they are using ego to chase you. Now you they add that one. Brother, as I stand before you, you change to ego. Give the revelation and go your way. Simple. Amen. Amen. Unless you hear any other thing, it's important. And that was the pattern in the Bible. They say it as they had the apostle John saw it, what he had, he put down. And the one they say he should not put down, he didn't put it down. Oh, glory be to God. He had something he was about to write. Oh, see, faithful man. If it is me, I don't go write them, but I go talk them. Do you understand? You know, I go share it with my wife. He said, make I no write. But see what I hear. But he said, make I no write. My wife go tell somebody. Somebody go tell somebody. But obedience, oh Lord, make me obedient. So that I don't spoil any program, distort anything. And so, John saw something. He saw what the church will go through. He put it down. But the revelation of it was not given to him. And he took this last age after it has gone through. God has allowed the picture to come out. Amen. Because if Satan catch it, he will mess it up. Oh, no one can call Jesus the Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Satan had it. Eh? So if I say so, I get Holy Ghost. Finish. He sent tears. Everybody said, Jesus is Lord. Everybody, Jesus is Lord. He said it by the Holy Ghost, Abby. But the truth is, by the time they made that statement, only those who had the Holy Ghost could accept that Jesus was Lord. A carpenter's son is Emmanuel, God of creation. For you to accept Jesus Christ as God in our midst, it will take the Holy Ghost. Because even saying it, you are risking your life before the Pharisees and Sadducees. But now, uncle, Jesus is Lord. Prostitutes are saying Jesus is Lord. By their bedside, it's put there. Jesus is the silent listener of every conversation. By their bedside like this, of a prostitute in a hotel, on the wall there. Who has ever seen it, brother? You don't want to talk. Praise the Lord. So why we study this is because as it is with the church corporate, the same condition of the church corporate is the same condition that the individual Christian will go through. And take note, although it is history, but take note that the present day church, hallelujah, is a factor of the past history. What we are today, every condition that was in the first church age was in the second church age plus the one for that age. Every age received whatever was the condition of the former age. So you can imagine now, it means in this seven church age, we have sevenfold. The church has sevenfold problem. The same condition that the first church had, the Ephesian church age, this present day church now has it seven times. What a believer went through in the first church age, what Satan did in the first church age. Remember, his assignment is kill the light. what he used to kill the light, whatever he went through, whatever means he employed, does not matter. But what he achieved is what matters. He wanted to kill the light of the gospel. Satan wanted to kill the light of the gospel. So, the method he used and he achieved in the first church age, he used a better method. Let me call it a worse method in the second church age. Because the light didn't die in the third church age. He will use something now, three times more than the last one, to kill it. That means what he's using in the seventh church age now will be seven times more effective. And the evidence is what we see about Christianity today. Tell me whether there is anything you see in Christianity today that resembles that first church in the Bible. So that you understand why we are taking this study. So that you will know why certain words are used in the Bible. And so we come to the second church age, known as the Smyrna church age. Praise the Lord. The star messenger that God used to hold the light for that age was Irenaeus. And I told you, the standard was Apostle Paul. All theologians all over the world, they all agree in choosing the seven star messengers that for the Sumerian church age, it was Irenaeus. And the meaning of Sumerian, that word, it means bitter. I told you everything about every age, including the name of that church, that local church, was speaking of something that will reflect the condition of the church in that age. Take note. So, that church was called the church at Smyrna. And now, the same characteristics of that church age is, of that local church in Smyrna, was what the second church age went through. That is why it is given that name, the Smyrna church. And it had her angel, which is the star messenger, Irenaeus. Praise the Lord. The word bitter, which is derived from the word myrrh, which is used for embalming the dead. Myrrh is used to embalm people who are dead. And so there is a significance. This reflects the significance of the name. What is found in that name, reflecting in this age, it was a bitter age. It was a bitter age that was filled with death. A bitter age that was filled with death. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, allow me to read one page here. Page 112. I love the way William Branham presented that age in this narration. Page 112 of the Exposition of the Seven Church Age book, preached by William Branham, concerning Smyrna, the last paragraph there, it says, the city of Smyrna was a little north of Ephesus at the mouth of Smyrna Gulf. Because of its very rich and fine harbor, it was a commercial center renowned for its exports. It was also distinguished for its schools of rhetoric, philosophy, medicine, sciences, and fine buildings. Many Jews lived there, and they were bitterly opposed to Christianity, even more so than were the Romans. In fact, Polycarp, the first bishop of Smyrna, was martyred by the Jews, and it is said that the Jews desecrated their holy day Saturday to carry the wood that would make his funeral pile. The word Smyrna means bitter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Being derived from the word myrrh, used in embalming the dead. Thus, we have a twofold significance found in the name of this age. It was a bitter age filled with death. the two vines within the framework of the church, we are drifting further apart with an increased bitterness towards the true vine on the part of the false. Death was not only the seed of the false vine, but even in the true vine, there was a creeping paralysis and impotence because they had already drifted from the unadulterated truth of the first few years after Pentecost. And no true believer is any stronger and spiritually healthy and alive than his knowledge of and adherence to the pure word of God, as seen by multitudes of examples in the Old Testament. Organization was growing apace, confirming and augmenting the death of the membership. For Holy Ghost leadership was deposed, and the word was replaced by creeds, dogmas, and man-made ritual. When Israel entered into unlawful alliance with the world and formed fellowships by marriage, the day finally came when the world took over and Babylon carried away the people of God into captivity. Now, when they went into captivity, they went in having a priesthood, a temple, and the world. But when they came back, they had rabbis, a theological order of Pharisees, a synagogue, and the Talmud. And when Jesus came, they were so corrupt that he called them of their father, the devil. And this in spite of the fact they were of Abraham according to the flesh. In this age, we see the same thing happening. However, as all Israel is not Israel, but a little group were the true spiritual Israelites, so there will also be a little group of true Christians, the bride of Christ, until he came for his own. In this city, Smyrna, there were two famous temples. One was the temple erected to the worship of Zeus, and the other was erected to Sabel. You know Sabel Cosmetics? Thank you. And between these two temples was found the most beautiful road of ancient times called the Golden Street. To me, this depicts a further inroad of paganism that had already started in the first age, but was known to exist only at Rome. The joining of the two temples of a god and goddess is the seed of Mariolatry, wherein Mary is called the mother of God and receives honor and titles and powers, giving her a co-equality with Jesus Christ. That is where it started. The Golden Street that joins them is a picture of the greed that caused the Nicolaitan organizers to join state and church because they knew the wealth and power it offered them. As the efficient age was but the seed bed for the tragic Pergamian age that was yet in future, this Semenian age was the rain, the sun, and the nourishment that ensured the vile corruption that will confirm the church in idolatry, which is spiritual fornication, from which she will never rise. Death was permitting her root to branch, and they that partook of her partook of bitterness and death. And so, the age lasted from AD 70 and ended. It started AD 170, and it ended in AD 312. It died from then till now. Just like that city was destroyed and no trace of it again, so also that age faded away like that. But notice that the condition of this church was tribulation. Amen. Hallelujah. And this tribulation is a tribulation that already started in the first church age. That's what I was explaining earlier. The condition of the first church age multiplied in the second church age. Because even in the first church age, let's read Hebrews chapter 10 or so. Hebrews chapter 10, this is Apostle Paul. In the first church age, they were already facing persecution at that time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Up to verse 38. This is what Apostle Paul said. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. This is the first church age, oh! They were already facing persecution.
Partly,
while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly, why you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bones, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. He said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So that gives you a picture that necessitated Apostle Paul writing that letter to the Hebrews, the believers. They were already facing afflictions. They were already facing persecution. But by the time we come to this second church age, that had multiplied. It had multiplied. And so, in chapter 2, let's read the condition, the way he put it. Verse 9. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. He said, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Take note that there is the emphasis of I know. He said, I know. If you know God, then why you not stop her? Amen. That will help you. Remember, I say, while we look at the church, look at the individual also. Remember that in his introduction earlier, he is the one that walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So he was always around in the seven church ages. The church belonged to him. He purchased it with his own blood. He is the one in control. He is the one in charge. Praise the Lord. Why? He knows. And it is because he knows. Oh, glory be to God. Because he's omnipresent. Do you think God does not know your condition? Amen. Is it true that he knew your condition even before that condition came to you? Did he have the ability to stop it? But he didn't stop it. It's for a purpose. And so, I believe, because as at the time that John was given this revelation, they were still within the first church age. And now he's telling the second church age in advance. William Branham was putting it this way. He says that the way Jesus Christ was dealing with this church, knowing the type of trouble that was coming, he says like getting them their condition, you know, preparing their condition for what will come. He was preparing them. That is why God gives us dreams. Every true child of God, every one of us, God talks to us. Everyone. If you say, me, God, no, they talk to me. No, it is because you have not discovered yet how he talks to you. But everyone, how can you have a father and he doesn't talk to you? How can you have a father and he only talks to you through somebody else? It also means maybe you don't have a relationship with him. But if you have a relationship with him, he talks to us. Before any bad thing will come to you, he prepares you by the revelation you will receive. Through your dream or through whatever means he speaks to you. And so, the same thing that William Brown was saying, it's like a little child and then the light is on in the night and now it is time to sleep. If suddenly the light goes off, the child may scream. Light went off, fear will come. So the father or the mother will call him Esla Junior. I'm going to put out the light now. and then the whole place is going to be dark. So when you get dark, don't fear. Mommy is by your side. I'll be here by your side. Don't fear. Nothing will touch you. And then you put off the light. When you put off the light, you will hold the mama down. Tara! And so God was preparing a Semenian church age. Trouble is coming, oh! See the way he will put it. Verse 10. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. He was telling them. He knows you will suffer. He said, fear none of it. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Hey. That ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation. How many days? Even knew how long it will last. Then he said, see, instead of him to say, don't worry, I will stop it. He says, be thou faithful unto death. Hey, Jesus. Then he added now, if you do that, I will give thee a crown of life. to follow God, no easy. Hallelujah. That's why the songwriter said, trials dark on every side, and we cannot understand. How did he put it? The Lord will lead us to the something blessed, promised land. And we wonder why the test, why we try to do our best. God will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by.
By and by, when the morning comes,
there is a morning that is coming.
When the saints of God have arrived,
we
will tell the story
how we overcome.
We will understand it.
And it's good to understand it. Church, we will understand it. See, listen very well. Amen. Listen very well. What the church ages, I'm emphasizing it, went through seven church ages. Every true Christian has seven different stages of your Christian life. Understanding how he dealt with the church ages will help you to understand how you too, what you too, you will go through as a believer. And unless you understand that, you will live a miserable Christian life, murmuring and grumbling, and sometimes even fall by the wayside. That is why this teaching of the seven church ages is important. That is the importance. I'm not teaching you history. I'm not teaching you even theology. This is more than theology. This is revelation to help you build your faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Look at him saying, yeah, I know. I know. He knows four things in that age. He knows. Mention four things in that verse. One, I know thy works. Uh-huh. Church, every one of us, whatever we are doing for the advancement of the Christian faith, for your faith, worshiping the Lord is serving God. Always remember, he that is in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, he is seeing all things. He knows why some of you are doing eye service for the pastor to know you. He knows those who are also serving him sincerely. I know thy works. I know. I know those who are hypocrites. And I know those who are sincere. I know those who are looking for food to eat. And I know those who are ready to die for me. I know all of you. I know thy works. That's one thing we must first establish. I know thy works. That is why he said, every man's work shall be tried. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says so. If he doesn't know it, then how will he try it? And every man shall stand and give account of himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord.